Welcome, everyone. My name is Marina Pull, and I'm your host for the Jungle Community Podcast series of What Would You Do Differently? A little brief podcast where we take experienced business leaders with at least 10 years experience in their chosen field. They take a moment to reflect on a pivotal event in their professional life and then wonder, what would they do differently if they had their time again? The idea is that you can just learn from these true stories and perhaps either adopt the benefit or avoid the car crash that you may hear in these stories. So without any further ado, let me introduce our very first guest. If I could, I would edit in applause. Tony Stone. Welcome, Tony. Welcome. We got there.
Hey there, Marina. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we had a few, we had a couple of technical glitches, thanks to me. Now, Tony, just as background for you guys out there, Tony is the founder of the successful ASC Training located here in Adelaide, but providing services all around Australia. ASC Training, 25 years, leadership, project management, training and assessment, whole bunch of other things. Is there anything you want to add to that? Because we will put a link in around what your business does and what have you. Is there anything you think these people really need to know?
Look, I think you've covered off. I guess we've been around for 25 years, so we're sort of comfortable in the training space, but thanks for the intro.
Good. All right, we'll put a link. No one wants to. I mean, as much as they want to hear about those stories, they just want to hear about what would you do differently. Okay. So let's start. Let's start with your story, which I was lucky enough to hear a part of yesterday. So I will hear you. You might have to speak up a little on this one too.
Okay, thanks, Marina, again. And here's my story for what it's worth. This takes me back to my first career, which was as a teacher. And I just spent 3 years teaching in Whyalla, and I was transferred to Adelaide. And just a note about the Whyalla school, it was a pretty tough teaching environment, but really supportive culture. And the kids came from pretty challenging backgrounds, but they also were really quite terrific kids to work with. So I went from there and I went to a school on the outskirts of Adelaide, kind of middle class setting. So a really different environment to what I had been used to for the first 3 years. And I think it was about the second weekend, I was walking towards my classroom and I heard a male yelling, shrieking. And it grabbed my attention, of course, and I turned around to see the deputy of the school standing kind of in the shadows, and he was directing his rage to a year eight student who at the time was walking across the quadrangle. So she was a good 20 metres away from him. And, you know, he froze her in the spotlights and then told her to remove her socks immediately because they were not appropriate uniform, and continued to berate this poor kid. And I found myself standing some distance away witnessing this and was kind of transfixed in disbelief at what I was seeing. And I'd never experienced anything like that in the 3 years I'd been teaching in Whyalla. And he disappeared, and the child limped off, having taken her socks off obediently, with her shocked friends, you know, in tow. And at that point in time, I had really done nothing but been an observer, a horrified observer, and I went off to my classroom. But I mulled over that, you know, for a while later, regretting that I hadn't done something. So we'll perhaps.
How old were you?
24 at the time.
Okay.
So, yeah, 3 years into teaching, so around 24. So I was still kind of green around the gills too. Mm. And it was a new school environment, so you have to be careful about not necessarily stepping in when you're a brand new kid on the block. So there's politically, but I got then to experience his unique managerial style in person. Yeah. About a month later, and I was in the staff room, and the staff room, that's where you go to relax and chill out and compare notes and support each other. And but also a number of us would like that social atmosphere, so we'd sometimes take our work up there. And I had a pile of marking to do, so a stack of kids' books. And so I'm marking and having a chat with whoever was there at the time. And I got up to get a cup of coffee, and as my back was turned, I heard this almighty clatter and crash. And I turned around, and the same deputy was looking at me with kind of half a smile, half a glare, as his arm had just swept all the books off the table. And so they were just strewn across the floor. And so again, I'm staring in disbelief. And, you know, his parting message as he's leaving is, this staff room is for teachers to have a coffee and relax, not for doing work. And off he went. And so that was the second time I'd witnessed his behavior. And again, maybe it just happened too quick, but there I was, transfixed, and no response from me other than, what the hell? And so, okay, now we get to the story, which happened towards the end of that same year. And we would have a staff meeting. There'd be about 80 people in the staff meeting. And they would ask at the beginning of the meeting, would anybody, you know, like to take the minutes? So we're talking days of pen and paper where somebody would be scribbling down all the notes of the meeting. And then you'd hand it on to the front office, and they'd type it, literally, I think, type it up for the minutes of that staff meeting. So I put my hand up and said, yeah, I'm happy to help. So I took the minutes, thought nothing more of it, gave them to the secretary, and, you know, that was that. Then 2 days later, we had parent interview night. And so we all gathered in the school around 5 o'clock. We were heading to our respective classrooms to meet the parents, and they would, you know, book in a time. I didn't get to the classroom because as I was walking past the foyer, the deputy in the story pinned me down and...
physically
pinned me against a wall. It was kind of like he approached me, and I had to take a step backwards. And so I'm up against a wall, and he's prodding me, not touching me, but prodding me in the chest.
Yeah.
And he is losing it. And it came out of nowhere. And he basically, the guts of his complaint was, the principal is not happy with the way you wrote the minutes of the staff meeting. And I looked at him. I think I've used the word disbelief a number of times, haven't I? But again,
I think I've got my mouth open, so it's fine.
I was gobsmacked, and I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "How dare you refer to the principal by his first name?" And it was just incredulous. And I said, Is that what this is about? And he said, you are a cheeky young pup. a pup. And then he gave me a few more missives, and then he turned around and he disappeared. So he's pretty good at kind of ambushing you and then just disappearing. And it's kind of what he did with that year 8 girl.
Yeah.
So there I am, getting my thoughts together. And at the time, there were parents walking past. So they're seeing this... deputy principal just berating a young teacher, and it's like, what's going on?
So
I went to did my parent interview, got home that night, and yeah, fair to say I was pretty annoyed. And so the next morning I went into the school, and the principal was in his office. That was fortuitous. So I asked if he had 5 minutes, and I kind of told him what had happened the night before. I said, well, look, the deputy has really, he pinned me down, and he really gave me a hard time over referring to you by your first name in the minutes. Is that problematic? Have I crossed a line here that I was not aware of? And this will give you a little bit of an insight into the measure of the principal, I guess. But he looked at me and he said, absolutely not. You've got to understand, the deputy, he's kind of old school. and these sort of
so
things.
He's sort of
he's
not
deflecting.
endorsed it.
No,
yeah.
He's saying no. And I asked him again because, frankly, my gut said I'm not buying this. So I asked him again. I said, so you're okay with me referring to you by your first name if I ever do minutes again or you know something similar? And he said, absolutely. So armed with that information, deputy's office was across the corridor. I went and spoke to the deputy who was in. And I think we were talking about this over the coffee. The thing that really struck me first was when I knocked on the door and he welcomed me in, he was full of smiles and, you know, Tony, how are you?
They often are they? They're just like,
yeah.
Old friend.
I'm still, you know, I'm still living the moment from the night before. And I said, so how can I help you? And I said, well, I want to talk about the parent interview night. And without a word of a lie, his next comment was, yeah, it was a really successful night, wasn't it? And so
these people are clueless. Yeah.
And so anyway, I said, look, actually, it's about the conversation that you and I had, which actually wasn't a conversation. You were screaming at me in front of parents. And he looked quite surprised. Oh, no, I wasn't screaming at you. And I believe he believed that was the case. And then I went on to say, look, I've been speaking to the principal and actually he has not offended at all by the way I wrote his name in the minutes. So I'm really confused. Why did you have a go at me? Oh, and at that point, you know, it was pretty clear that there was a real, in his mind, mismatch in what he'd been told to do and what I'd been told from the principal. And so he offered up a bit of a lame, well, he told you that, okay, I accept that. I think it's not appropriate. So he started to take the blame himself, but he apologized. And he said, okay, if I yelled, I'm sorry. So it gave me an opportunity just to sort of sign off that conversation and say, look, okay, let's say it's a misunderstanding, but can I ask you that if ever I step over a line, come and talk to me civilly about it, because screaming and yelling is not a good look, especially in that environment when there were parents. So we agreed, and it would be fair to say that for the next 2 or 3 years, while he was still at the school, he never bothered me ever again, and was only ever kind of on his, you know, most polite behavior. So that, okay, so perhaps that conversation helped that. But here's the sting in the tail, I think, that makes this a really interesting story. Well, I hope it's interesting. 6 months later, I'm at a school barbecue. And I'm talking to one of the other deputies. So there were three deputies at the school. And she was quite a close mate by then. And so we got on fine. And just out of nowhere, she said to me, you know, Tone, we had a senior leader meeting at the start of the week. And she said, the principal is still furious about you calling him by his first name in the staff minutes.
The principal. Oh, my God, the twist of the story. So So he's actually wound up the deputy to sort of be the henchman, gone after you. When you've gone to the principal, he's like, oh, no, everything's good. It's his fault.
Yep.
Throwing him under the bus.
Absolutely.
Caused, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, look, it was.
There's so much dysfunction in this story.
I mean, it was helpful, I guess, for me because it showed me a little bit about the nature of the principal, the character of the principal. You know, and to be fair to the deputy, he was ex-Navy. He actually was a well-intentioned man who really, you know, was raised in an era with a set of values and beliefs,
Yeah,
and then
I guess so.
added to his armed forces experiences, it was about, well, you do what you're told, and the people below you do what they're told.
Yeah.
And so the principal really was using him, and he did it numerous times. He was using him as the leader.
Yeah, just manipulating him as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. That's crazy. It's not an uncommon story, sadly, where I know we when we spoke, this triangle that you see around bullying, where there's actually the weak leader. Well, they don't actually do anything. You know, they don't interject, they don't intervene, they don't create safe spaces. And these bullying, or in this case, like bullying behavior, and it's very gracious of you to maybe explain away why you did it, but it's still, oh, it's wildly inappropriate behavior. But there's that triangle, like the bully, he's like, it's okay, weak, in this case, really manipulative leader, probably trying to get ahead. And then like the young, I love that, the young pup coming in going, this is bullshit. This is not right. So what would you have done differently? Because it's a good story. It's a crazy good story. You stood up for yourself, mate.
Yeah. And I think in terms of that story, it all panned out pretty nicely. I mean, it was fortunate that I could manage it immediately the next morning. And it was fortunate that the principal was in his office. It was kind of fortunate for me in a sense that he, gave the impression that it was all okay, because it gave me the ammunition to go and talk to the deputy. And the fact that the deputy was in at the same time made it all very seamless. So the whole thing was done and dusted in about, 10, 15 minutes. And I came away from it, feeling maybe a little less naive about the politics of the workplace, but actually feeling like I had this time, as opposed to those other two episodes, this time I'd actually taken a bit of control. And that felt really good, that I walked away from that encounter thinking, okay, it could have gone in any direction, but I felt that at least I'd taken some steps. In those other two cases, with the young girl in the quadrangle, my kind of older, mature, hardly a pup anymore, but I would have liked to have gone back to that moment and actually walked across the quadrangle to that girl who was, she was in a state of shock, and actually signaled to the screaming deputy, it's okay, I'll take care of this, and then just escort her away from the spotlight. And check that she's okay and get her sorted and off to class. The other one about him, knocking all my books to the floor.
That's so petty. That's so petty.
It was his kind of persona. He would greet female staff members and he'd jab them in the shoulder. It was kind of like his whole... So anyway, in that instance, I absolutely would have challenged him on that. And, we all fantasize, don't we, about what we would have done. And, in my fantasizing, or maybe what I would have done really now, is gone down to his office, because he left quickly, and said something to the effect of, I'm going to be back in the staff room in 15 minutes, and my books need to be back on that desk, and say no more.
Yeah.
And leave it at that, because that would have been, I think that would have put the ball firmly in his court, and he would have kind of been left wondering, what's he capable of doing if I
don't? Yeah.
Song and dance. So that I would love to go back in time and do that. But.
Well, I can't quite grant that wish, but who knows? Who knows? Who knows? In the future, we might be able to travel time.
Yeah.
So just a couple. I love this story too. And thank you so much for sharing, because I think even with all the bullying and harassment laws and, there's so much stuff out there about respectful behavior. A lot of the people who do that training or are sort of asked to go do it, they don't resonate that it's them. They don't get it. But to hear someone who was brave, dealt with that weak leader, I think is, I don't know, it makes you go, oh, someone else is doing it. You're not quite so alone, which I think is inspiring. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I mean, there are other stories, I guess, that follow on from that, where in different ways, he found ways to, punish me in ways. But that's other stories. And none of it was enduring or damaging, but it was interesting because he clearly had in his head that I was trouble. And so, but anyway, we survived.
Rather than deal with the differences, we'll just try to get rid of that trouble. It's nice to have something out of the Wild West, isn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah,
well, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And thank you, if you are still listening, to what would you do differently? Now, my suggestion to you is before you have a big life event professionally, pause for a minute and think, what would my future self like me to do differently here? So with that, we're signing off. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the jungle.
Thanks, Marina.
That was fun. You're great.
Is that all right?
Yeah.